to Thursday morning on your station, 88.9 KETR. That means, of course, Mr. Bob Akin joins us in studio. Mr. Akin, welcome.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. Hope that we've got plenty to talk about today. Time to break it down.
I think I got a couple of things to break down. Okay. But it occurs to me that we may have been laying down the job, so to speak, and as have a lot of other people. I perceive a distinct lack of basic information that is of common knowledge, and I attribute a lot of this to do with our increasingly specialized professions and segmented lives. There's a lot of things that are important that a lot of people don't know. For instance, I was on a conference call last week in which one of the participants just mentions who was in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
I'm not even going into the office today. Traffic's going to be awful. They got a security lockdown for the NATO meeting. There are going to be at least two street demonstrations, so on, so on, so on. Oh, poor you. And another participant said, what's this NATO thing? And it became apparent that she really didn't know what it was. And this was not some dummy that just walked in off the street somewhere. This was a responsible professional who had no clue as to one of the great triumphs of American diplomacy and the most successful military alliance in world history.
Right.
That won the main theater of the Cold War without firing a shot. So we'll talk about that in a broader context on another occasion, but it occurs to me that there is some lack of basic information out there. Case in point.
Okay.
People trying to figure out just exactly how did the largest bank in the country, and one of the largest banks in the world, manage just to puff smoke, lose $3 billion, and it's still accounting.
Right.
I think it goes to a lot of things that people simply don't understand about banking. And bankers are not really interested in trying to educate you. So let's take an example. Banking is supposed to be, or maybe it should be, and sometimes is, a safe and dull business.
Sure.
You take in deposits, you make loans, you make a little money. It's not a high margin business. It's dull and boring, but everybody is safe.
And particularly young people, that's generally what we understand it to be.
Well, let's take another, without getting into a refresher course in the principles of banking or an accounting course on double entry bookkeeping. Let's take an old boy down the street who is a barber, who has, as an example of what's happened here, he's the best barber in five states and wants to set up his own shop. So what he does, he borrows some money from some friends. He also takes in a couple of silent partners, opens his own shop, and pretty soon, let's call him Morgan the Barber.
Okay.
Jimmy Pete Morgan.
Okay.
Well, if the Jimmy Pete Morgan Barbershop is making a bunch of money, but he's also having to work. He's got customers standing outside the door, so he takes on some more barbers, buys more equipment, and he realizes that, you know, we could do even better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now the biggest barbershop in the market.
Right.
But it's not making quite as much money as some other lines of business. He finds out that a friend of his in the grocery business works on a smaller profit margin. He turns his inventory over 13 times a year.
Hey.
So what he does, Johnny Pete Morgan is also a gambler. He's a pretty good poker player, and he also follows football and basketball.
Sure.
He sets up in the back room a bookmaking operation.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he is just raking it in hand over fist. He really thinks he understands more about sports betting than anybody else in the world outside of Las Vegas.
Right, sure.
So he winds up doing exactly what they all do. He doesn't get his books balanced. He actually takes positions on games. And he's making money.
Mm-hmm.
And his partners are pleased. His creditors are pleased. And then we hit a little rough spot where he does not balance the books. And in trying to get an equal amount of money on each side of every game, he hits a losing streak. Well, the partners and the creditors talk to the leading citizen in town, whose hair has been cut by Johnny Pete Morgan for years, a Mr. Volker, who lives down the street. And Volker comes in and he said, I got a rule for you. You get your bookmaking operation out of the back of the barbershop. You can stay in it if you want to, but don't co-mingle the funds of your partners and creditors with what's going on there. Oh, well, we're not going to make as much money. He said, if you're not going to make as much money, pay them off and get rid of them. Well, that's what happened this past week, and it's not over yet. But the real-life counterpart to the Johnny Pete Morgan Barbershop is going to stay in the news, and we may want to pick back up on this.
Sure.
Let's wrap with things to watch for Tuesday night on your crack election coverage show here on KETR. All the action is in the Republican primary. There's not a contested race in the primaries, on the Democratic primary, locally anyway. What I would suggest to you is that there are three races to watch, which involve either incumbent Republicans or longtime loyalist Republicans who have got strong support in the Republican base running against switchers who are past Democrats, both in the sheriff's race, the state rep race, and the district judge race. You can look around town in Commerce, in Greenville, elsewhere around the county, and all their signs are together. It's like two slates inside there.
Mm-hmm.
It will be interesting to see just how the Democratic switchers do. My notion is probably they're all going to run pretty close to each other against the longtime loyalist Republicans. It will be fascinating to see how many, if any, they persuade to vote in a dull Democratic primary and cross over and vote in the Republican primary.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is, well, probably less than you might think for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is something around the state. You want to look at this state rep race and several others. The speaker's race is going to be decided. Besides the Speaker of the House having a primary opponent, the winners of the primaries are pretty much going to decide the next race for Speaker of the House, the second most important job in the state, the most important being Lieutenant Governor. As the incumbent Lieutenant Governor is running for the United States Senate, the job he's always wanted, and has been accused not of being a liberal in the Republican primary, he's been accused of being a moderate. It will be fascinating to see if Cruz can force a runoff with Dewhurst. And on our last word here, just about the time the 2012 campaign hits them, the 2014 race just started. The governor just came through on his first foray around the state, being accompanied by four friendly state reps, incidentally, three of whom are not friends of the speaker, as he's attempting to sell austerity in a county whose two main employers are a state university and a federal contractor.
We'll see how he does.
We'll see. Expect some polling calls.
Mr. Aiken, thank you so much.
We'll do it again.
We're your station, 88.9 KETR.